98.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
My soul,
yes,
tell.
Oh, just how I felt when the Lord
took the sins away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, I can feel His holy power. Yes,
God is real.
He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real.
For He has washed every hole.
Is like you go.
Yes, like you go.
Yes, God is
real. For I can feel Him in my soul.
Him in my soul.
Yes, yes, God is real.
Yes, God is real.
He's real in my soul.
Real in my soul.
Yes, God is real.
Choir. What an awesome job. Amen. As we stand all over this place, I want to call your attention to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word, God, that will strengthen us, a word that will help us to be everything you desire for us to be. We thank you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, amen. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Amen. And if you don't recognize who that is speaking of, who is talking about, that is in a real sense the resume of the Apostle Paul. Amen. And I want to talk this morning for just a few moments about turning points. Turning points. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in His presence. Turning points. If you live life long enough, you will discover that a long life's journey, there are what we might call turning points. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, ushers. In his 84 years, Thomas Edison patented over 1,000 inventions. His most famous invention, of course, is the light bulb. But the one that he made the most money from was the alkaline battery. Thomas Edison was known to be a fighter, unwilling to accept failure as a final outcome to his efforts. Before he successfully invented the alkaline battery, the record is that he failed some 9,000 times. Edison is credited his success to hard work. As a matter of fact, he said that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. No one will debate the fact that Edison was a hard worker. No one will. In the biography of his life, it is written that he had a vacation home built, I believe, in Fort Myers, Florida. But right next to his vacation home, he had them to build a factory. And so the thought is that he wasn't that keen on vacation. He was more interested in his work. He was unstoppable. On his 80th birthday, he announced the formation of a company to do research to develop rubber. Why did he work so hard? What was it that caused him to put so much effort and energy into his work? Was it determination? Was it willpower? Was it discipline? I said all of that because what I want you to focus in on, especially when we talk about Paul and what I believe, and I said this last week, I believe that one of the distinguishing features of a successful human being is one who develops passion. Amen. Passion is important. I told y'all last Sunday that the reason Sister Robinson is the superintendent of our Sunday school is because God showed me in her the passion that she has for Sunday school. And what an outstanding job. Y'all give her a hand. An outstanding job she does as superintendent. I mean, we don't miss a beat. Amen. And she does something that I heard Dr. Harry Blake, who was the former president of our Louisiana Baptist State Convention, he said that the mark of a great leader is not how well things go when they're present, but how well things go when they're absent. Amen. And y'all know that Sister Robinson, she don't tell nobody nothing. She just may be gone for a whole month, but everything will still happen the way it's supposed to happen. That's the mark of a good leader. And that is because she has passion. I heard Reverend T.D. Jakes say that if you want to find great leaders in your church, find someone who's passionate about something. Amen. And one way you can identify passion sometimes is by the folk who complain about something. But, you know, that ain't being done right. That's if you want to find a good cook, amen, find somebody who knows when it's right and somebody who knows when it ain't right. Amen. I don't want to eat at your table if I see you bragging on a meal that I know is substandard. Because a really good cook is passionate about good food. Amen. And one thing we know about Saul of Tarsus, we know that he was passionate. He was a man who kept his shoes shined and his brass polished. He played by all the rules and emerged as a qualified rabbi. He gives us his resume right there in Philippians 3, 5, and 6. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church. Even when he was on the wrong side, he displayed passion as it relates to persecuting Christians. Amen. A persecutor of the church. That's why a lot of times, you know, folk who were passionate when they were in the world sometimes make the best Christians. I'm talking about the folk who knew how to party and give it all they had. Those are the same folk, amen, who will come into the church. You talk about folk that who could dance in the club, but when they give their lives to Christ and they decide to live for the Lord Jesus, I think it was Carlton Pearson who said that that he hadn't stopped dancing, he just changed partners. And I know there's some folk in the church who used to give it all they could when they were in the world. And thank God that when they signed up and gave their lives to the Lord and joined the Lord's army, they didn't leave their passion in the nightclub. Come on, come on. Some of your best praisers are the folk who used to cut a rug in the world giving praise. And some of the best praise dancers. Because let me tell you, I wouldn't make up much of a praise dance. I never did learn how to dance. I never will forget Bro Banks when he chaired my 50th birthday celebration down at Celebration. Some of y'all remember that. And they had a segment in that celebration where they were going to teach Pastor Garner how to dance. What a feeble effort I gave. Amen. I just ain't got it. Amen. But my brothers and sisters, if you want to please God in your service, in your work, you've got to be passionate about it. Saul had passion. But Saul's privilege before his birth, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. And Benjamin, you will recall, was Joseph's little brother. He was the son of Israel's old age. The only one of the sons of Israel born in the promised land. Perhaps Saul was even named after the first king of Israel who came from the tribe of Benjamin. But something happened in the life of Saul. One day, the Bible says, while he was on the road to Damascus, amen, a bright light from heaven showed up and knocked him off of his beast and even caused him to be blinded, amen. And it was at this point where he's blind, where he's in darkness, that Saul reaches a turning point. Now, I said all of that because I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that sometimes when you end up in a dark moment in your life, when it seems like God is against you, when it seems like the devil is beating up on you, when it seems like all hope is lost, amen, when it seems like you're at the end of your rope, I have come by to suggest to you today that it is possibly not God giving up on you, but maybe God is giving you a turning point. Sometimes we have to be persuaded in the darkness that there's a better way. Sometimes we have to be convinced, amen, in hard times and in difficult times that there is a better way for us. And is there anybody here today who can thank God for your life's turning point? Yeah. On the road to Damascus, Saul was carrying a writ, giving him the authority to persecute church folk. But God had something else in mind. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Who was talking? I'm glad you asked. That voice said, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do." God struck Saul to the ground and sent the proud man to Damascus with orders to wait. Sometimes the best thing for us to do is to wait. Sometimes in our dark moments, in our difficult moments, you know, we get in a hurry and we want to fix it right now. But sometimes the best thing you can do, my brother, sometimes the best thing you can do, my sister, is wait. And is there anybody who has discovered in your waiting that he may not come when you want him, but he will show up on time? Wait. Hurry up and wait. What was the journey like? He was a blind man, going into an unfamiliar city to receive orders from a stranger. Did he stumble? Did he fall? Was he anxious? Why did God require him to hurry up and wait? Why didn't God tell him what Saul needed to know right on the spot instead of sending him a blind man on an errand? I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that sometimes God will send you to do something and not give you all of the direction. And I know some of you are military-minded, and I know that many of you are programmed such that you want all of the information up front. You need to know what the mission entails. But I have come by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that sometimes God will lead you out blindly on a mission, amen, and all you're left to do is trust that he's going to help you to make it. Oh, I know I got two or three folk in here. You left home not knowing where you were headed. You left a marriage not knowing how you were going to make it. You left a job not knowing how you were going to make ends meet. But you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God pushed you out there into the darkness, and all you were left to do was trust that he was going to help you to make it. Is there anybody here who can look back over your life and say that even in the darkness, God was there with me, helping me through it? Saul had to make a choice. Did he return to Jerusalem and his former life? Or did he forget about his privilege, forget about his resume, and embrace the future that God was pushing him into? Many times, my brothers and sisters, God does not engrave great people with passion in the light. God carves passion, that key element of greatness, on their character in the dark night of their soul. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, if you look at it, Paul gives his formula for greatness. He says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." Paul says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Notice that Paul knew he was on a journey. He hadn't yet attained his destination, and Paul was not allowing his past accomplishments or failures to rob him of the potential of his future. But the key to his greatness is in verse 14. He is driven by God's upward call. He was passionate, y'all. A passion he received in the darkness of Damascus. After his conversion, persecutor Saul became the Apostle Paul, a prolific writer. He wrote nearly half of the books of the New Testament. He was a church planter representing the church on three missionary journeys. He plants churches and nurtures believers. He was a leader that molded the future of the church and trained others to lead, all because he was passionate. He was passionate before his conversion, and now we see that he is passionate after his conversion. Look at him, y'all. They stoned him, and he kept preaching because of his determination. No, it was because of his passion. They threw the brother in prison, but he kept on praising. Was it because of his superior discipline? No, it was because of his passion. The Bible says they chained him to a guard and put him under house arrest, but he kept on writing. Was it because of his willpower? No, it was because of his passion. Tell your neighbor, you need to have passion for the things of God. Then when we study the Bible, we discover that Paul was not the only one who had passion. Joseph's journey to greatness wasn't through a life of privilege as the son of his father, but it was because of a pit at the hand of his brothers and a jail cell at the hands of Potiphar's wife. Not in the light, but in the dark. He emerged with the passion to know and do the will of God. Daniel's moment of truth did not take place under a spotlight, but it was before an open window in Babylon where he prayed. Not in the light, but in the dark. He emerged with passion. Whether in the king's court or in the lion's den, he had a passion for righteousness. Y'all remember David, don't you? David's defining moment did not come among his father's sheep at home, but rather it was out on a battlefield against a Philistine champion, not in the light, but in the dark. He emerged with the passion to know and follow the heart of God. And then we see Saul's turning point. It did not come at the feet of Gamaliel, where he studied, or in the synagogue where he worshiped. But it was after an encounter with the holy God who confronted him with his unrighteousness, not in the light, but in the dark. And Saul emerged with the passion to build the church that he once tried to destroy. And I've come by to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, that you may receive your training in the light, but you will develop passion in the dark, in moments when life feels like it's caving in on you. In those dark nights of the soul, God gives you your passion. Great people are driven by their passion and guided by their God. Knowledge will never change the world. Talent will never change the world. Skill will never change the world. Great people who leave their mark are the ones who have passion. And many times they get their passion in the darkness of night. Is there anybody here today who, if you could testify right now, you would have to admit that you did not get to the height of what praise is until you experienced the night? Is there anybody who can admit and acknowledge that you didn't really know how much God loved you as long as the sun was shining? You didn't understand how much he loved you when you had plenty of money and when you had friends that surrounded your door. But you found out how much he loved you when folk walked out on you. You found out how much he loved you when your money was funny and your change was strange. You found out how much he loved you when even your family, who you thought would be there with you till the end, when your own family walked out on you. But you found out that when everything else around you falls, you can still look to the hills from whence cometh your help. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your help comes from the Lord. That's why I praise him. That's why I thank him. Amen. Because he's been there for me when I was all by myself. If you love him, give him praise. If you thank him, give him praise. If you're passionate about your praise, tell him thank you. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I know he is. Come on and give him praise in this place. As we stand.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238